It's time for Mount Vernon Wildcat Basketball on 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. This broadcast is brought to you
8 to 10 minutes because they just, and that's particular with individual things. But, Dad, you've got to move, and I think you have to do that really anyway. I mean, because you can't, you know, I've never been, I didn't like a long practice as a player. I really didn't like him as a coach. I mean, there are days you have to do it, but, you know, short, get in here, get moving early and execute and try to get out because you get to the season, you're not going to be able to. You got to have your guys ready to you know, to go quickly and not have a lot of time to prepare when you have these, you know, short days before games. And but yeah, it's, you know, it's and the thing at the here, you know, you don't have as much staff, and you when you have JV and varsity out there, you have a tendency. What I don't like as a coach is having a lot of guys standing around.
Oh yeah.
So when you have longer practices and you have that kind of time, and you know, guys are just aren't doing anything. So we've done, and Robbie's done a good job of that. We're taking guys to the side when we're doing something and trying to involve everybody as much as we can.
Mm-hmm. With the film sessions, I always found that coaching, I could describe how I wanted something done, but if you show them a picture, if you show them mm-hmm. physically, and so whether it's film or demonstration, I had, when you're coaching up in New Harmony, my son was up there, and he was able to do things, blocking out on the blocks and things like that, and the other guys go, oh, so that's what you wanted. Well, I thought I explained it really well, yeah. But until they see it physically from somebody, so if you can go over the films and all with your kids, and if they can stay focused, man, that's a great teaching tool.
Yeah, well, it is. Now the technology is such that not only can you, you know, it's easier. I mean, back when I first started, I mean, it took a while to make a
8 film. 8 millimeter?
Well, it was, you know, the VCR stacked. You had to throw in the 8-track tape. You had 2 remotes, and it was it was a tedious process. But now with this, and now you can send a. You know, you can set up accounts. The kids can see it directly. You send it. I mean, these kids are, everyone's on their phone. So it's good that way.
United Fidelity Bank, the Posey County Co-op, Auto Car Trader, Bud's Hardware, the Mount Vernon M Club, Russell's Excavating, Green Credit Union, Expressway Chevrolet, Team Milam of ERA First Advantage Realty, and Expressway Jeep and Chrysler.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Mount Vernon High School Basketball Coaches Show. I'm Alan Buck. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI, and I am sitting here with new coach Doug Novsek in the lobby of United Fidelity Bank in downtown Mount Vernon, the bank that's big enough to offer you every service that you need and small enough to meet your individual needs. Coach, great to be with you. This is our inaugural season opening show. We did an introductory show last summer when you first got here, but this is the first time you've really gone, you've had some time with the players. Mm-hmm. I asked you a question last summer. You gave me the perfect answer, and I guess I kind of loaded it. I asked you, are we going to be an 84-foot team, or are we going to be a half-court team? And you said, I don't know. I haven't seen the guys enough.
Yeah.
And that was the perfect answer because you'd only been with them four or 5 days. So now that you've seen some things, tell us what your – well, first give the folks at home some background of you and what brought you here.
Well, Ella, I've been around a long time coaching basketball at the college level. As a matter of fact, my wife and I were just at Indiana State. Our son is helping out at Ball State and saw a game there at the Homewood Center. It's where I started my career, age 25. And so, you know, I've been several places at the college level and really have been in Evansville, lived in – we came here in 2015 – to work with Marty Simmons, who I grew up with. Marty and I have been best friends for a long time. And then even after he got let go for 3 years, I bounced around a couple places and eventually joined him at Eastern Illinois. But we never left Evansville. We really enjoy this area. And so I'd retired and was just, you know, I was at Eastern Illinois with Marty and then retired. And then I got a call from Stan Girard and spent the last 2 years at USI. And then kind of retired again. And then I saw a story in the paper about how the coach had left here. Mm-hmm. And I saw a name on there that I recognized, Hostetter, because I knew Mark. I had recruited Mark Hostetter when I was in Indiana State and knew of him. I knew he coached here at one point. He actually worked for Rick Curtis, who's a good friend of mine, who was a coach of mine, if you can believe that. And so just, you know, I called Rick and he called Mark and it kind of went from there. You know, we did a little homework on the area and things like that. And, you know, 3 or 4 days later, you know, I was on board, and then we started in June. So That's kind of it would take me 40 minutes to tell you everywhere I've been, Alan.
Sure.
People don't want to hear about that. So, sure. But it's great to be here.
I tell you, I think you're going to find, first of all, you're going to like the people in this community, and you'll learn about them by the players that you're going to coach. And the one thing that these kids are going to do for you, they're going to play black line to black line for 32 minutes or however long the game goes. Huh. They will give you every ounce of effort, and that comes from the upbringing, the parents and the community and everything like that. I always said, you know, I learned a lot about parents from the kids I coached. And you're dealing with a different circumstance that you are coaching the players that are here at the school, not the ones that you brought in.
Sure.
Different kind of a thing. But you also, you gave me a great answer last summer, too, about you're going to run what the players can execute, not what you're comfortable running. And that's perfect.
Yeah. Well, I think it was just kind of deciding what I'll want to do is you get a feel for these players. And the high school game's different. I mean, you have no shot clock. It's a shorter game. And, you know, you don't have as much time. You have time, but, I mean, at the college level, you have more individual time. You can pull kids during the day and work on some things that way. And this is different now that these kids, you know, they're in school all day. If you want to do something, you got to do before, then after. And so, you know, I think we're comfortable right now with some things we're doing. Our guys have got a good feel for it. We'll continue to add. You know, going back, we want to play fast. We got out. One of the things that was encouraging in the scrimmage is in the first two segments, we got out, pushed the ball ahead, got some good looks, and that's what we kind of want to do. We've got to get our you know, the thing about playing fast, I told these guys, if you guys don't reward postmen that run, they'll quit running. If you don't throw the ball up ahead to a wing guy's open, they're going to quit running. Mm-hmm. And then you're just going to kind of have a slog. And we've been pretty good about that right now. And so we want to play. We want to play faster. And then, but, you know, the other part of that is, you know, you create more possessions, you got to defend. And, you know, we did a very poor job in the scrimmage, which was a little bit surprising in transition defense. I mean, poor communication. And so if you're going to, you know, we're not going to, you know, go down, score, and just let somebody else score. So
sure.
You know, there's a balance there.
Yeah, you the first two quarters, if mine as close to accurate as I can be, 22 points and 23 points, and you won both of them handily. The last two fell off a little bit, 19 and 9. Did you guys get time? Well, the last quarter, both teams, it was 12-9 in the last quarter, so neither team scored much.
Well, we only played 6 minutes of that last quarter.
That's right. That's 12, right. I forgot
so
about that.
We made a decision with the coach there. But I'll tell you, we came out, and I told these guys, you know, one of the things that we did, we didn't go into the locker room. I said, I want you to sit out here and support these guys.
Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a good move. I like that.
And I told them, I don't know a lot, but I know competitive people when I see it. And those kids from Wood Memorial were upset, and I think their staff was upset. And I said, they're going to come back here, and they're going to have a little bit more. And we use a term I got from Marty, you change your pulse. They changed their pulse and got up, were a lot more physical. And we kind of, you know, we turned the ball over, and we took some bad shots, and we get back in transition, and we built like a 10-point deficit. And that was the disappointing part of the night, was just how they – and I think we had some fatigue also set in with a couple players that, you know. But it wasn't a normal – you know, you sit there for 12, 14 minutes, and you kind of get it, you know, kind of get it juiced back up. It's different. But I just that was the only thing that really disappointed me, that and we didn't go after balls. We didn't go rebound the ball like we're capable. But it was good. It was good for them to see that and – you know, to get challenged. And we had a situation late. You know, we had the ball, and we had not yet gone through what we're going to do in that situation to get a last shot, and that was on me. We just hadn't done it yet. And one thing that's new for me is, you know, at the college level, they don't have the fight count. So your guard can just sit out there and whatever. And then, you know, now it's a little different. The guys are up there. You got to pay attention to that. We had practice, and that was mine. But, you know, all in all, we got some things out of it.
Yeah, you know, you can't go over everything. I mean, like you said, the thing you were talking about earlier, you have more time individually with college kids than that. The other thing, too, with high school kids, the attention span's just not there. I mean, these kids are thinking about, you know, dad's mad because I didn't get the lawn cut. Susie from chemistry class looked pretty today, and they're all everything's going through their mind. Wow. You got to get them focused for short periods of time, maybe an hour and a half, two. I don't know how long your practices are.
Well, I'll tell you this, Alan. The attention span at the college level is not great either. I went to this years ago. I do a lot of film work with guys, and the one thing I found out is I've gotten those things to about. But the one of the things you want to try to do that I do, you got to, it's like anything, you got to teach guys how to watch film. You know, it's not, you know, you're looking over here at this guy, you know, Duncan or whatever. You know, it's not all just highlights. It's, and, you know, teach them what to watch, what, you know, describing, you know, the things that we're talking about.
Yeah, the hard work comes before that shot's taken. Mm-hmm. If a guy's just watching the quality of the shot, or like you said, the dunk, what all happened before that? Mm-hmm. Who set the screen? Whose feet were in the wrong place, et cetera, et cetera? And those are the things, like you said, teach the kids how to watch the film.
Yep.
That's a tough thing. You talked about after halftime in the game the other night. They had a player, Schoonover. He was 0 for 6 from the three-point line. And when he came out after the fact, he hit two in a row. Mm-hmm. When he took the first one, I thought, I don't care. He's already missed six. Right dead bottom, and he did that twice. He got in his rhythm. They were more focused.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player. I mean, he's
definitely.
And I think a lot of the, you know, we did a very poor job of finding men. Now, one of the things we didn't do for this either that we'll do with every game is we didn't produce a scouting report with the personnel, and then we didn't have, you know, when you'll see this at games, whoever has the game prep, you know, they're going to be matching guys up, you know, at free throws, and we didn't do any of that, and should have probably to a certain degree, because a lot of the buckets we gave up weren't. It wasn't like we got beat down the floor. Mm-hmm. We didn't communicate, and I think both his threes he was wide open. Well, one of them he got off a screen, but he was wide open.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't necessarily mind that you weren't that micromanaging on some of the details. Mm-hmm. That let the kids figure it out, and then that tells you how much how much progress do they. Yeah. Have they made, and how much more do you need? It gives you a good starting point.
Yeah,
and you know, it's different playing in a game, and I realize that was totally different. You know, it was a controlled scrimmage, it's really different, but that's a whole lot different than anything you can create in practice.
Yeah. I just wish that we would shoot free throws.
It's yes.
Still, yeah, I didn't like it. And there was one format where you go four quarters of 15 minutes where you didn't shoot free throws at all.
Yeah.
And I at least wanted to get to a minute. And that's another thing that's new, you know, here. There's no one-on-one. It's all two free throws after some point. So
I don't like those rules, but.
Yeah, but it was, we just, you know, and that's why you look at the scores and you may have won, but, you know, there were a lot of fouls in there. We got fouled as well. So you didn't get to the line and you weren't able to do some things like that. And we had a zone. We were really, I think the thing that was surprising as much, we haven't played any zone. We're not going to play a lot of zone. We may now because we put a zone in. We knew we were going to have a zone segment, so we did a little walkthrough the afternoon, and I got the guys out there. I don't know if it was 10 minutes, and I said, listen, I know we haven't done this. I want you to compete. I don't want you to stand here because, I respect this coach. We're trying to help them. And that might be that may be the thing we executed the best all night was the zone defense that we had practiced. So you give it a little bit of encouragement, maybe we can do that. Mm-hmm. And I don't like it a whole lot, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, in recent years here, they've done for a limited amount of time, they'll go to 1-3-1 zone. And the players, I mean, you got to cover a lot more distance on that, but it gives you double team opportunities. It gives you weak side pass steal opportunities more than like a 2-3, you know, kind of a grind them out. But these guys seem to do very well. But
They communicated. I think part of it was they were a little bit, I don't know, scared's a word, but they'd not done it, so they knew they had to. And there was, it was like night and day watching some of the, particularly the transition part of it. But, you know, we've made strides in that area in terms of guarding and in the energy level that we're doing it at. And it's going to be important for all these guys. You know, you've got to perform on both ends.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that I always saw in the past, football players, it takes them a month before they feel like they're dribbling a sphere. It's like a cube they're dribbling. You can't. I mean, even a guy who handles the ball like Nash Hostetter, it's not perfect because they're used to handling, you know, a prolet spheroid, not the spear. And he just, you know, he didn't. I think he had a couple turnovers the other night that he won't have during the season
think Nash's transition wasn't even normal because he got hurt and he was not doing. I don't think he did anything physically day to day. And earlier there for a while with this type of injury, you're not supposed to run. I don't think he was getting a whole lot of cardio for the last whatever, 4 or 5 games of the year, and then he played games.
Right.
So when he came on, his was probably even more. He got tired. And we should have got him out probably. But that's kind of why we're doing it, so he can play through that a little bit, because he need the conditioning part of it. But he had his transition has been different than probably a normal football player.
Yeah, yeah. My conclusion, and I digressed before, but I think that your guys they did very well. I mean, I think they were more advanced than most football players I've seen at this point of the year. I just think they did a really good job of doing the transition.
Yeah.
And the other the great thing you'll find about football players on loose balls, they're the first ones on the floor.
Yeah, well,
they're used to it. They don't care. They'll get on the floor.
Well, there better be a fight for that one. Something we've made and that was the thing. And that's the one thing Brady did that in the last segment there, he went and rebounded. We weren't rebounding.
Right.
And we'd made it a point. We'd really, we'd call the timeout, and he went and did that more, and that's what he's got to do. That was a disappointment. We just there were balls in the air that we just didn't go get, and that's something that we just is unacceptable right now.
Well, I'm sure Grandpa will talk to him about that. He's you've seen his name in the record books at USI. So anyway, I think they've come along great. You learned a lot. We'll take a break right now. I went a little bit long here. I get wound up talking basketball with you, but we're going to take a quick break here. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI.
You've got places to go, and better banking can help you and your money go further. Are you ready to take your money to new heights? Get a flexible high-yield checking account that lets you customize your interest rate so you can keep your finances headed in the right direction. With Elevate Checking from United Fidelity Bank, you're in control of how much you earn. You can raise your rate with a few easy steps, like using your mobile banking app or getting your paychecks by direct deposit. Get more ways to earn more with Elevate Checking and start earning 4.00% APY. Learn more at unitedfidelity.com/elevate or visit your local banking center. Must meet certain criteria to qualify. Rates may change at any time without notice after the account is opened. APY is accurate as of August 1st, 2024. $25 minimum deposit required to open. Fees or other conditions could reduce earnings on the account. Member FDIC.
The Posey County Co-op has proudly been supporting the communities we live in since 1927. With locations in Mount Vernon, Poseyville, Griffin, St. Wendell, Hopstock, and Evansville, the Posey County Co-op is your number one spot for Askro and DeKalb seeds and Purina feed products. The Posey County Co-op also has you covered with their new Posey County Workwear in Mount Vernon. The Posey County Co-op, your number one agricultural resource since 1927.
Buying a used vehicle doesn't have to be difficult. And when you come to Auto Car Trader in Mount Vernon, it's not. This week's Vehicle of the Week is a 2022 Kia Sorento SX all-wheel drive. This sharp gray SUV has just 66,000 miles on it. It has a 2.5-liter turbocharged 4-cylinder, 8-speed transmission. It's full-time all-wheel drive. Has gloss black wheels, leather seats, third-row seats, and forward collision assistance. This is a one-owner vehicle with a full service history. Check it out online at actpreowned.com or swing by 312 College Avenue to take it on a test drive today. Financing is available for all credit situations at Auto Car Trader in Mount Vernon. And happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving from Bud's Hardware in Mount Vernon. Don't forget to get your grills ready for Thanksgiving. 20-pound propane tank refills for $14.99. Get 20-pound bags of grill pellets for $8.99 in these great flavors. Pecan, oak, apple, hickory, mesquite, and gourmet. Everything you need to grill that perfect turkey is at Bud's Hardware in Mount Vernon. Open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. till 5 p.m. and Saturdays from 8 until 5. Serving Mount Vernon since 1874. Bud's Hardware on Main Street.
For over 40 years, the Mount Vernon Club has provided support necessary for the success of Mount Vernon student-athletes. Since 1971, over $250,000 has been donated to athletic programs, assisting in weight room equipment, uniforms, and granting college scholarships. The M Club sells individual bricks for Wildcat Plaza, which are great purchases for alums and class reunions. Bricks are just $35. To make a purchase, contact M Club President Scott Mitchell at 812-550-0153.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Mount Vernon Basketball Coaches Show. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI. I'm Alan Buck, sitting here in the lobby of United Fidelity Bank with Coach Doug Novsek. And we've talked about the controlled scrimmage against Wood Memorial, which is we've never broadcast one of those in the past, but we did this time to kind of give the fans an introduction to you and what you were going to be doing with the team, and it was kind of eye opening. Now you've got, you talked about you want to play more man to man, you want to hit the boards a little bit more. That's not going to be as easy because you don't have the tallest people around. But it's all about positioning and doing the hard work before the shot goes up.
Well, about 90% of rebounding is desire, to be honest with you. You don't have to be the biggest guy to go. It helps, don't get me wrong. But I've been very blessed throughout my coaching career to coach and be around some just elite rebounders. And the one thing that these guys were all the same is they went after balls. Mm-hmm. It didn't. They tracked them, and it was just something they took. It's funny. Rebounding is a thing that once you start really going and doing it, it's something you enjoy because you go get balls, and you know what kind of value it brings to the team. I know I talk about it often, and that's why I was really disappointed. I knew we had talked to the team a couple of days before the scrimmage. I said, we film every practice, and I watch it, and that was the thing I thought we'd had a drop-off. We do rebounding drills, and it's like every other drill when you do that. Sir. Everybody does it, and then you go to 5-on-5, and suddenly it's like, ugh. But we had looking at some of our, some of our drill. I mean, we'll play live. It'll be 4-on-4 drill. It'll be defensive drill. The ball goes up. You're going after the ball. We were doing it. And so, there's a kind of a – there are some guys that block out well and go get balls. There's some guys that – I've had guys I've coached that they would block out but couldn't go get the ball. So we said, just go get it.
Yeah. So, there's a timing thing. You got to block out, but you got to release and go get it. We the guys I always played with, and even as in school and then as an adult and all, as soon as a shot went up, you protected yourself because you were getting a rear end stuck into you really hard. Yeah. And that's if you can – if you could block out and create that empty cavity in the middle, the rebound belongs to your team. It's just when one of them steps forward and grabs it. Because, and you don't have to – and I don't remember the statistic. I think it was 90-some-odd percent of all rebounds are taken below 10 feet.
Yeah.
They're not, like you said, you don't have to be the giraffe getting up over the top. But, that's going to be a lot of fun. And I told you before – I told you off the air, these guys are going to give you all the effort that they've got, and if rebounding is what you want out of them, they'll give you that effort for that. So we're looking Wednesday. The Vincennes-Alice has come into town, and what do you know about them?
Right on. Well, they lost a lot of guys, but they had a scrimmage at North Posey Saturday, which we've heard they won, but I don't know. Like I said, the scrimmage control, the way they're done. They spaced the four very well. They've got a kind of a combination of defenses they use. They had a player last year who's not back, a little guard who was really, really effective for them. I mean, would just kind of run, and it's like they've kind of fed off of him. He kind of just went trapped, and it's a little bit unpredictable, might be the word. And I say unpredictable, I don't mean, okay, they're going to go a 2-3, they're going to play man. They're going to scramble a little bit with you. At least that's what they've shown. We'll see some press. I think we're going to see two or three different kind of defenses. And offensively, they really spaced the floor. They shot in the past a lot of threes. Now, they lost three, pretty good three-point shooters. And so we don't know a whole lot about the guys that are back other than, what we've been able to kind of – different conversations. We started with our prep today with them. Rusty Seymour and his staff is on our staff is taking that. And, we – little introduction today. We'll dive in a little bit more tomorrow in terms of, walking through some of their stats, talk more about their personnel, but we've seen a little tape. But, I grew up 8 miles from Vincennes and followed them. I was a junior in high school when they won the state. And two of their two good friends of mine, Doug Crook and Courtney Whitty, were players on that team, and we were friends then. We'd played with these guys in the summer, and I know it's a lot of tradition there. And, I'm expecting quite a battle.
You mentioned press. From looking at your roster, knowing your players, I don't think beating a press is going to be that difficult with the ball handling that you have on the floor.
Well, the one thing with the press is that you have to be aware of is that a lot of times effective presses, what they do, they get the ball out of your ball handler's hands. So now the ball's going up to people who have to make decisions with it. And we worked on that a lot today in that
one of the things that presses do is not so much him stealing the ball from you, is he put the ball in the hands of guys in areas they're not used to being at and making decisions. And what they're really looking for a lot of times are quick shots. And we had, you know, we went through a lot of stuff today. We'll do it more tomorrow. I mean, there's some guys that, you know, we're comfortable doing that and others not. So we want to, you know, you want to be able to attack. And you want to make sure that that guys, when they catch the ball, turn, face, and see in the floor, and hopefully making them pay. But, you know, that's the thing. I would anticipate that they're, you know, they're going to come at Nash and try to get him out of his hands. And there's a way, you know, we have for Nash to get it back when we need to. But that's what presses do a lot of time. Effective ones, they make other players make plays. And that's the one thing. We practice some things today. We'll do it again tomorrow. You know, dumping down and you know, we just we got to keep our poise and just realize. And that's the thing that's different for me is that, okay, you got Daniel Lockett. Now you can back the thing back out. You take all the time in the world you need.
Shot clock's 8 minutes long.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's, you know, we'll see how it goes. We did, I thought we did fairly well today with it.
I like the, I've always liked not having a shot clock. I just think it makes you have to play defense longer, and you know, if the offense, the longer the offense has to work with it, the more opportunities they have to make a ball handling error. But by the same token, the longer the defense is playing defense, the easier it is for them to maybe turn their head the wrong way or something. I mean, you know,
traditionally defenses will make mistakes before offensive. If you got to, you know, if you're patient with it, and it's, I don't, you know, I know it's been so long. I mean, they've had the shot clock, you know, obviously the college levels ever since I was, I think playing. I think it's just started then, and I think it's unique that it keeps. I think it keeps less talented teams, giving them more of a chance to still compete. I know everybody wants to run up and down. That's fine. But, you know, really, the shot clock, it's funny, at the college level, you rarely see it run down. But I'm looking forward to it. I think it's kind of neat, you know, and that's one of the things I talked about. I talked with Rusty, and I haven't done this. We had one when I was in high school. You know, a delay game. You know, you've got to lead. You want to burn some clock. You got to, you know, you got to have a couple things like that. And, you know, I watched some Vincent's tape from last year. One of the things we haven't seen, we didn't see it this summer because everyone kind of plays fast this summer, and we didn't see it in the scrimmage, is that, you know, they had some times where there was very long possessions. And that's something that we haven't seen yet, and we're going to see how we react.
Yeah, you're talking about you haven't seen them with your opponents. With this team, last year, they showed really good patience. When things didn't go right, they would just – take it out, reset it, and go again. And they had there were numerous games where I'm seeing they had opportunities to take a decent shot, but they passed it up, ran something again and again and again until they got a real good shot. And that's really good patience, because, you know, we talk about, again, high school kids, sometimes they might get a little trigger happy. You know, I've got a shot, I can make this, but why don't we take one 2 feet from the basket instead of 15.
Well, you're trying to pass up good for great.
Absolutely.
And you'll hear me say this through the year, and I've talked to these guys a lot. You know, you run a play, you run an action in the ball, whatever. You get out of sync, just execute your way through it. That's what we keep talking, execute your way through it. Don't just – a lot of times kids lose their poise and they think, I got to go make a play with this ball 25 feet from the basket. Just, you know, we got a lot of stuff we can do. We got enough guys that can handle the ball.
And you got a lot of seniors. That maturity ought to help execute what you just said, execute through it, and that's good. You got these kids. There was just a different level of maturity on the football team this year because of all the seniors, and you've got an awful lot of them here. And this is you're just coming in. You talked about Mark Hostetter and all. This is the eighth year of a Hostetter being the starting point guard.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Leo started when he was a freshman all the way through, and Nash started when he was a freshman. I asked a few years ago, I asked him, I said, do you have a fifth grader? And they said, no. I said, so we're going to run out of Hostetters at the end of this season.
Well, we're running out of seniors too. I mean, it's, we've got a, you know, I've talked to people about this. We've got if we were at the college level and we had a roster balanced like this, we'd get fired. You know, there's we've got a terrific freshman class with kids that work hard. And the thing we don't have in this program right now is a wealth of ball handling. We are really shy on that. And these kids that, you know, Robbie spent a lot of time with these freshmen in JV. We all did a lot of skill work with them, and we've got to improve that. And we've got to get those kids, that's always in the back of our mind, we've got to get those kids ready because they're going to be varsity players next year because there's not a whole lot. We've got a handful of sophomores, two or three. We've got one junior. And so those kids are going to have to be ready to step up, and we want to try to get them, you know, some game action. I think you'll see Waz and Caleb in there and possibly Ryland. A lot of it's freshmen this year. We're trying to get them some minutes. They're going to play JV. You know, that's the balance. We, you know, Robbie and I were talking about that today. It's just the five-quarter rule is, there's a fine line. You want these kids to get a lot of reps at the JV level, but we might need them in a pinch. More in a pinch, we need them as a role.
Yeah, you might. But, like, the most repetitions they can get is the best thing for them at a young age. And you're, just starting out here, you'll be getting the pipeline loaded up and beefed up. And we've seen it happen over in football over the years, and same with basketball, although, you know, with fewer players, you can have ebbs and flows with age groups, you know, with eight seniors or something and one junior, you said, and then, you know, a few sophomores.
But I'll say this, the people here in the town, the WYBA is group people that are really committed to developing basketball in this town. It's been impressive to see the energy they have, the desire they have, the time they're spending. They're not being paid. They raise money for our program with events, but there is a concerted effort made by a lot of people in this town to build this. And Joe got a lot of this started. I give him a lot of credit in terms of getting this thing foundation going to where you got kids playing, and we're just trying right now to get as many kids playing and learning how to play instead of just playing games. But it'll come. I think it's a little bit odd. I've not been at the high school level, obviously, but just to have, and I think football went through the same thing, is to whatever reason the junior class at the school is just it's not there athletically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that has to do with the number of births and things like that, maybe more girls instead of boys, or, you know, whatever it is. I don't know the sociology of it necessarily, but I've seen it at every high school around. They have periods like that. Yeah. So, but we better take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll have a short segment at the end. But you're listening to 106.7 WMVI.
The clock is ticking. It's your final days to save during the Red Tag Sales event at Expressway Chevrolet. Save over $14,000 off MSRP on a new Chevy Silverado Crew Cab 4x4, new Chevy Trailblazer LT 23990. See red, save green at the Red Tag Sales event. ExpressWayChevrolet.com, Mount Vernon, Indiana. Together, let's drive. Price includes tax, title, and $250 dock fee. Dealer retains all applicable rebates. Owner loyalty and Costco may apply. Trade assist on 2011 or newer. Residential restrictions may apply. Excludes previous offers. See dealer for details.
This is Justin Schmidt, Regional Manager for Crane Credit Union in Posey County. I want to remind you that Crane Credit Union is committed to serving Posey County. With three locations, familiar faces, and local decisions, we are able to offer cutting-edge products and services that you want, along with hometown feel that you deserve. When you become a member at Crane Credit Union, you're helping to support this community and the schools and organizations that matter to you. Visit us in person at one of our local branches in Poseyville, Mount Vernon, or St. Wendell, or online at cranecu.org to find out how easy it is to join. Crane Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA and Equal Housing Lender.
Team Milam of ERA First Advantage Realty has another deal for you. Embrace luxury lakeside living at 5620 Red Lake Drive here in Mount Vernon. This stunning one-year new Jago-built home sits on 4 acres in the peaceful Lakeland Ridge subdivision, complete with private lake access. With over 2,000 square feet, you'll love the open concept layout, 4 spacious bedrooms, and a cozy fireplace for relaxing evenings. And if that's not enough, step outside to enjoy kayaking, fishing, or simply soaking up the view from your own backyard retreat. Don't miss this rare lakeside opportunity. Contact Andrea of Team Milam by emailing andrea@teammilam.com or see the full listing online today. Team Milam of ERA First Advantage Realty, going that extra mile.
Looking for a new ride, or is it time to give your current car the care it deserves? At Expressway Jeep, we've got you covered. Whether you're shopping for the latest Jeep, Chrysler, Dodge, or Ram models, or need reliable service, we're your one-stop shop. Check out our amazing deals on quality new and pre-owned vehicles. And when it's time for maintenance, our certified technicians are ready to keep your vehicle running like new. Visit us today or check us out online at expressway jeep.com. Expressway Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram in Mount Vernon, Indiana.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Mount Vernon Basketball Coaches Show. I'm Alan Buck. You're listening to 106.7 WMBI, and I'm here with Coach Doug Novsek in the lobby of United Fidelity Bank in downtown Mount Vernon. We were just talking about practice schedules and how to have effective practices, and he's being a former college coach, and he's a little more very, very organized and gets very efficient practices, and that's the best way to bring your kids along quickly at the beginning of the season, because you don't have games every few days. It's all practices.
Well, you know, you have priorities you got to get to every day and you try to get a mix of, you know, you want guys to get moving early, the ball handling, shooting. Try to get some shooting in every day in some fun or fashion. You know, you want some physicality with some rebounding type of things, and you got to move back and forth. And, you know, one of the things that's just hard, it's hard to find a way to do it, is at some point you've got to do some 5-on-0 where you're going through plays, and that's where it always kind of shuts down. So then you got to have something behind that to kind of get them going again. These kids have been good about that. It's been we've had some days that hadn't been, but for the most part, they've been able to kind of get their motor going again.
Do you have Wednesday. Wednesday's the day before Thanksgiving. An odd day to have a game, but that's the way things are. And from what I see, there's no school Wednesday. Game JV at 4, varsity at 5:30. It's kind of an odd. The question I was going to get at is, how to get in? Have you gotten into a game, type of a rhythm? Well, this isn't the time to talk about that, because it's a totally different time. You'll never have another game like this.
We haven't, and that's something that's going to be a little challenge for me, because that is obviously different. You know, we would have at the college level, you'd have a shoot around. Like if we had a 7 o'clock game, you would usually do your shoot around 1:30, 2 o'clock. You want to get an hour in, because then you're going to go right to eat. You know, you eat 4 hours before the game. Mm-hmm. So it was – you know, obviously you had that time. You carved it out, but now we don't. So we'll figure out something. It'll be a little different Wednesday, because we'll probably get these guys in, walk through some things. We just set up the JV, and then as the season progresses, you know, we'll have to make adjustments to that on the road, you know, driving. And that it just makes it more important that you're getting a lot done every day in practice, because you don't have the luxury at the college level. You generally have almost all day, still another full day before you play to get – you know, to walk through for film and things like that, to shoot. And,
yeah.
You don't have that here, and that's something we'll have to maximize.
One of the things I always ask, these have always been returning coaches, is, you know, kids at this level, at this age, they mature and progress at different rates. And, you know, sometimes a player will make 2 years of progress in 1 year. You can't answer it if I ask the question that way, because you haven't been around a year, but from last, when you first got with the boys back in May and June, to now, is there anybody that's just made a huge amount of progress?
We've had our freshmen have really, just because of where they came, I mean, they had more progress because of where they started. Travis Holsey, Oz Biggerstaff, Caleb Aldrich have just, and they've worked, they've come in. You know, I think Myers made progress. He's gotten better at a lot of things. Bryce Clowers is just, you know, the kid just every day works and gives you everything. He's gotten better at a lot of things. You know, Nash and some of the, and we haven't had him. You know, that, and that's been kind of a, but the guys that have been here every day, you know, that weren't fall sport athletes and were here, they've all made progress. And I think that the freshmen have probably made the biggest jump because of where they were and where they are right now. And that's, you know, when guys, I mean, these kids have worked. I keep saying that, and, you know, that we've come in and we've pushed them, and they've done well.
Well, and that's a big difference between a kid in grade school and once he goes to high school. There are totally different demands put on them, and so they can progress quickly if they are not afraid of putting in the hard work.
Yeah.
And I always told kids, I said, look, you push your body, it'll do what you tell it to do. Yeah. We're at the age, my body just laughs at me. but that's the thing. You talk about these freshman kids. Yeah, they're going to have a quicker, they'll go through the learning curve quicker on the progress with the conditioning is a big thing. Yeah, I mean,
we even had, you know, we had brought up some of the eighth graders and worked them out and actually had a handful of these kids practicing with us because we needed some bodies and we needed some ball handlers. And I think those kids in the 2 or 3 weeks, and I know Robbie's been spending time, he's doing some personal stuff even with the junior high kids, because there's a good group there as well, really solid group of eighth grade kids that came in this summer and same way. I mean, they teed it up every day with us, and we pushed them, and they did pretty well. So,
fantastic.
You know, I'm anxious to see them during the season here and see how they do with their team, but I think our eighth grade team should be fairly good.
Yeah, well, that's where the varsity basketball starts, is down in middle school and such as that. So, well, I'll tell you what, we'll look forward to this. It's going to be a fun season. Win, lose, or draw, if you're undefeated or not, it's going to be a lot of fun. These kids are going to work hard. There were some plays the other night. I said, you know, in September and October, that was good defense, but here it's a foul.
Yeah.
And you're going to have that from time to time with these kids. But great to have you here. I think you're going to have a good experience. And the kids, from everything I've heard, they really appreciate you and like the way things are going.
Good.
So with that, we will sign off. I'll just say good night to all good sports. You're listening to 106.7 WMBI.
You've been listening to Mount Vernon Wildcat Basketball on 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. This broadcast has been brought to you by United Fidelity Bank, the Posey County Co-op, Auto Car Trader, Bud's Hardware, the Mount Vernon M Club, Russell's Excavating, Crane Credit Union, Expressway Chevrolet, T. Milam of ERA First Advantage Realty, and Expressway Jeep and Chrysler. Keep up to date with the Mount Vernon Wildcats on 106.7 WMVI and PoseyCountyRadio.com.